You are tuned to KBBI, and you're listening to The Coffee Table. I'm your host, Aaron Bolton, and today we are talking about all things hiking in Kachemak Bay, or in Kachemak Bay State Park, and National Trails Day, which is coming up on June 1st. And in the studio, I'm joined by a retired state park ranger and Friends of Kachemak Bay State Park member Roger McCampbell, and regular park volunteer Kathy Sarnes, and Ground Truth Trekking Executive Director Brentwood Higman. And Kathy, if you just want to talk a little bit about, you volunteer on a regular basis, Trails Day is coming up on June 1st for folks who want to get involved. What is the best way for folks to volunteer? Because there is a process.
There is a process, yeah. You need to, first of all, even if you think you want to volunteer for Trails Day or any time this summer, even for half an hour volunteer, to fill out the volunteer form, because they need to have a new one each year. So there's a new form, and you can go to Islands and Oceans, and go upstairs, the middle stairway, and they should be on the reception desk area. You'll see there should be signs there saying, here's the forms, and fill them out, and then put them in the box. And then you'll be on the email list, and you'll be in the loop of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And there's stuff going on all summer.
Yeah, yeah, and there's also some emails. You can email Christina Whiting at bayvolunteer@gmail.com or call the parks office by calling 235-7024. Do you have something to add, Roger?
Well, you can also go to the websites for the state website, State Parks website, and the Friends of Kachemak Bay has a website and the Water Trail, and those things are opportunities that are posted there. And then also contact the volunteer coordinator, Christina Whiting, which I think you have her email address.
And we will post links to all of that when we put this up on our website at kbbi.org. So if you missed any of those, they will be made available there, so you can get all the details on how to get involved. And Kathy, like, what can folks expect when they volunteer? You know, there are a range of opportunities for folks who want to talk about. What are some of the opportunities, and what can people expect?
You can just pick and choose. You can sign up to volunteer. You can fill out the form, and you may never volunteer this summer if you're too busy, but you get the emails, and you can say, hey, like Clark needed somebody to just hold some rods for him so he could shoot some survey things over across the bay, or you could take it to whatever level you'd like. I kind of like to go overboard, and I love being over there, so I try to get over there at least once or twice a month and bring a crew with me. And when I go alone, I only need two or three people with me, and I'll just put a call out for whoever wants to work hard for a few days. And if you're not able and physically able to go across and work, there's things you can do here in town. My husband helps Eric with maintaining the equipment on this side, and it's unlimited what you can do, because they need help. And then the trails don't clear themselves. There's no funding for the clearing of the existing trails, so I'm just a grunt, and I love going over there and trying to keep a few of them open. Mm-hmm. a few more open than were open before.
And then there's also partnerships. We were talking about that on the break, in terms of hopes for more partnerships of kind of like a adopt-a-trail model kind of type deal.
That would be really nice. There's talk about it. We don't have it organized yet, but so far it's just been somebody like when Otter Cove just emailed the park. I think they emailed Eric and Christina and said, hey, we're willing to offer this housing and rides if somebody will clear that trail. And that benefits them, and it benefits the park. And also True North Kayak Adventures heard about it, and they helped with rides on that too, because that benefits their business, because they have another trail they can bring their customers to. So if we could get more people like that are interested, I'd say they just contact the park and say, hey, I'm willing to help maintain trails in the summer, and it can be arranged.
Yeah, and Roger, has there been a conversation on the Friends of Kachemak Bay State Park board in terms of trying to facilitate some of these partnerships, businesses that maybe benefit from a trail that's near them, that for their customers to go on, or trying to, you know, facilitate these kind of things?
Oh, definitely. I know there's at least one lodge that Jason is in contact with that would like to take over one of the trails across the bay and do that. So sponsorships of that. Working through the Friends of Kachemak Bay State Parks, it's plural because we have parks on this side too, from Bay Crest to the Cottonwood Eastland to Eveline Diamond Creek that we also help with. And we have a partnership with the Bike Club and the Nordic Ski Club that maintain the Eveline Trails and the new bike trails at Diamond Creek. And that's all an agreement. And, of course, you know, it's a government agency, so there's a bureaucracy, there's forms to fill out, handshakes to be made, and things like that. But if you work through or contact us, if you want to sponsor, want to help out in any way, financially, monetarily, equipment, whatever skill set you might have, the Friends of Kachemak Bay is a 501c3. It's considered a tax deductible donation in certain respects. But it's a good way. The other thing I want to mention, you know, Kathy was talking, is if you've never been across the bay, it's a good way to get a free trip over and do a little bit of work. It's a great way to meet new people, make new friends. You never know. And we also have an end-of-the-year volunteer appreciation picnic and, you know.
Free hot dogs.
Free hot dogs or pizza or cake or ice cream. So, and I also wanted to mention and throw this out there because time's getting short, that Eric is still trying to get two paid crew members. There's a shortage of employees out there that want to do this hard work, I guess. I think it's being advertised on websites, but he needs two paid crew members. If you're over 18 and need a summer job and you'll work across the bay, it's a great way to get a start. If you're home from college, you're a freshman, you can work for three seasons doing this. That's the limit on how long the state will employ people under this program, sometimes four. I think he's paying $15 an hour. I don't know if there's a per diem when you're across the bay, but it's good, hard work, great way to, if you're not in shape, to get in shape. It's a great way to stay in shape, learn some skills. Like we were talking about with Higg, the engineering, all those things to consider. It's a learning thing. It's a skill set that will benefit you the rest of your life. I still get contacts from, well, they're full-grown family men now that came here at 18 and volunteered, and that was the best job they ever had. And now they know how to sharpen a shovel, and they still talk about things like that. So,
yeah,
contact Eric Clark at eric.clark@alaska.gov.
And we'll provide that information on the line and how to get a hold of Eric if that's something that interests you. You know, and I also, not just Trails Day I want to talk about, but for people who may be new to the area, Trails Day is a great way to get across the bay. And actually, before we jump off this topic, you know, as far as going to some of the work parties, there's also, you know, you're not over there just to do work. Sometimes you actually get out and get a little hike in. If you want to talk a little bit about that, Kathy, I mean, what are some of the opportunities to get some hikes in different areas when you're going over there and doing some volunteering?
Yeah, anytime we go over to work, we, of course, end up hiking on the trail as we're working, and then we'll take breaks and go up a peak or go check something out, or part of the work party maybe include doing a recon, like we've got to check out a section to see how much equipment we need the next time. When I have my crew over there, I learned it from Eric. If people are getting tired or bored, or I say, hey, let's just put this stuff down and let's go for a walk, go for a hike. So it's a great, like you said, it's a great way to get over there, and that place is magic. You know, if you haven't been over there, it's like no other place I've ever been. So just being over there for me is fun, and then it's so rewarding too to be able to do some work that'll make it a little better accessible for someone else. So.
Yeah, you know, and this is the time where folks are kind of piling into town for the summer season, and people are moving here, even if they're staying here long term. And for folks who might be new to town, I mean, what are outside of just volunteering, what are some great hikes to get over there and do to really get situated with the park and get familiar with it?
Just go over and hike. Grace Ridge is pretty darn nice now. That was one of our pet projects a few years ago, and it was growing in and getting pretty brushy, but now it's very nice from south end to north end. That's about a 9-mile hike, 3,200 elevation gain. You can just take a day and do it. Now Sadie Knob from south end right now, hopefully by north end after Trails Day, but there's two accesses, but it's from south to the top. There's also, of course, there's always Saddle Trail, but that's pretty popular over to the Gruen Glacier. And also Alpine Ridge. If you go to Saddle Trail and head as if you're going to the glacier, take a right up Alpine Ridge, and it's like Stairmaster for about 3,000 feet. And, but that's a pretty darn good trail. We're kind of been working on that one too, but there is some brush, but it's doable.
And Hig, we were talking about the Tucka Backdoor Trail a little bit earlier, but just in terms of someone who's looking at hiking, I guess what probably could be considered the most challenging trail in the park. What should folks be expecting there? People that are interested in that.
Well, I think that's if you were to start at the head of Tucka, the first 5 miles aren't the most challenging. That's not the most challenging trail. It's nothing like, for instance, summiting Poop Peak or something like that. It's a pretty reasonable trail. And as you go into the next few miles, the trail gets more difficult. There's a kind of tight spot about 5.5 miles in or so that would make some people uncomfortable. And then as you get into the high country, you're going to be getting into areas where, an ice axe might be recommended, especially earlier in the year. You'll be crossing some snow. You'll want to be... Navigation is, in most cases, pretty easy, but you do need to be navigating, so you're going to be going through the pass up there with, no markers. We're going to hopefully get some cairns in this July, but right now there are no markers there. And the other thing, in addition to the snow, as far as hazards that you really need to be aware of, is river crossings. And the main one that can be an issue is the big river that flows into Taylor Bay. We just call it the Taylor River. It doesn't have a name at this point. But there's a crossing of that river on the other side. Most adults would be reasonably comfortable crossing that on a good day. But when the rain comes in on the south side of the peninsula, it comes in really hard, and those rivers come up fast. Even some of the smaller streams that you cross up in the nearer to the pass, if you're there during a period of heavy rain, you may not be able to safely cross those. So you need to either be prepared to stop and wait for the water to come down, or to have a pack raft with you and be comfortable doing river crossings using a pack raft. So I'd say that's the thing I worry the most about, is that someone, would take off into the mountains and not appreciate how these rivers can really come up, and what is a safe crossing on most days could be very dangerous. River crossings can be, they can be tricky. They can look not too bad, and then once you're out there, it's not that easy to turn around. So that'd be the main thing I would be concerned about.
Yeah, and we were talking yesterday that it might be a good suggestion for folks to actually fly out to Taylor Bay and maybe come back towards the Tucka Bay side, so that way they have a shorter amount of time between their drop off and getting to that river crossing, so they have a better predictability with the weather window.
Yeah, that's something actually quite a few people have done. If you want to do the through hike, I think that is the most straightforward way to do it, and people have had a fantastic time on that. It's about, so right now it's 21 miles from Taylor to Tucka, but it's 6,000 feet of climb in that distance. It goes over two mountains, and there's other ups and downs. And so don't think of this as like, oh, that's you know, 10 miles a day. I'll just do that in 2 days. I mean, if you want to do it as an athletic event, you can, and you could probably do it in 2 days. I think next year, I know my wife's interested in organizing a race that would be all the way from Taylor Bay to Jackloff, about 30 miles. And she and I imagine a few other people might expect to do that in one. But that is a incredibly brutal 30 miles. And I recommend more like 4 days, even for the 21 miles to Tutka. And there was one group that last year that took 8 days, and they did all this fantastic side hiking, and they were naming unnamed landmarks back there and just having a blast. So it's a great trail to go on and then occasionally leave the trail to explore. You're up in these alpine, open, mountainous areas where you can just hike off in any direction, and people have a lot of fun if they aren't in a rush and under pressure.
And, you know, in terms of, for anyone, is there any good suggestions for trails in the park that might get people ready for something like that? Maybe if they're not quite ready to tackle the backdoor trail. I don't know, Roger, if you have any suggestions that might be great for people to get familiar with being up in the Alpine and developing some of those skills.
Well, I think, you know, just any of the trails that are accessible right now, just starting out, if you're a novice hiker, you're going to start off on easy trails and, you know, get in shape and work yourself up to that. I like going up to Leisure Lake and camping or renting one of the public use cabins. And just, you know, short jaunts and, you know, around town, you've got lots of trails around town, the Baycrest Trails, Diamond, you know, even though that's in pretty rough shape, going down to the beach and back and hiking the beach is a great way to get your legs in shape in that soft sand. Evelyn Trails out East End Road, out of Evelyn State Recreation Site. Just start doing it till you feel more and more comfortable. However, as Hig was saying, once you get into things like river crossings and ice axes, you're getting a little more technical. So I always suggest is read a book, watch a video, go with somebody more experienced than you. And you know, everybody says, well, it's just walking in the woods. Well, yeah, but that can become a real, that's a wilderness. And, you know, cell phones don't always work. Most of the time they don't. And, you know, you trip and fall, break a leg, sprain an ankle, you're going to have a true wilderness experience because there's not a search and rescue team at your beck and disposal. So you better be prepared when you go across the bay, even if you think it's just a little day hike. Take what we used to call the 10 essentials and look that up. I'm not going to go over them here now. But, you know what you're doing. Don't rely on your cell phone. Rely on your brain and your training and a compass and a map and be prepared and ask around.
So. I think, one way that's really great to get comfortable is to go out on these volunteer projects. I know that a lot of people who come and join us on Tutka Backdoor Expedition or, you know, outings to work on the trail, those are usually, they're almost always multi-day outings. So often I'll go out for 3 weeks or more for one of these trail work things. We'll be out for about a week now and a couple weeks in July and a week in September. And that is an opportunity to go out with a bunch of people who are more comfortable camping and traveling in the wilderness. I always like, if I'm doing scouting, I like to bring someone who's really inexperienced with me and so that they get a chance to go out and wander around in the bushes and you know, kind of puzzle through how is it that one deals with all the questions that come up when you're routing a trail. And I've had people who have volunteered with us really bring that up as one of the values that, you know, that maybe they weren't comfortable camping for multiple days, but because they were going with a group of experienced people who, you know, we have a base tent with a wood stove in it, you know, there's a lot of kind of backup, and so that gives them a chance to learn a little bit about that.
Yeah, and I did want to touch on that a little bit. How do folks get in touch with volunteering for the Tutka Backdoor Trail and that sort of thing?
Sure, there's a Facebook group just called Tutka Backdoor. If you search for that, that's a fine way to find out what's going on and get in touch. You can find me on Facebook. Also, my email is contact@groundtruthtrekking.org. And so trekking has two K's in it, TrekKing. And that's probably the ideal way to get in touch. And, you know, if someone wanted to jump in on what's happening really soon, we're heading out Tuesday next week. We'd squeeze you in, and I'm actually have especially a room on a boat on May 30th. But the other one that I'm starting to get organized on is between July 18th and August 4th. And that one, really, we're looking for people who can spend at least 3 days, preferably five or more, because we'll be working up in the pass. We'll be putting those cairns mm-hmm. over the pass, so we need just the travel time to get to the area where we're working is going to be a day's hike. So,
okay.
And then
just want to remind folks, Trails Day is coming up on June 1st. If you kind of, Roger or Kathy, if you want to remind folks how they can get involved with those day jobs.
Just get your volunteer form filled out. Go to Islands and Ocean. Go upstairs and fill it out right away, because it takes them a few days to get it processed in for the state. And then, and again, if you don't have to be super experienced, like when you come with me, as long as you can hold a rake and rake brush and leaves, and you're good to go.
Yeah, there's a sign up book there, a binder, and you go through that and sign up. There's plenty of room, I know, on the family guided nature hike. I'm leading a group on the North Grace Ridge Trail, I believe. I think I had a couple of slots left open on that. So that's sign up on that book, fill out the volunteer forms, throw your $20 in the envelope, talk to Christina if she's there. I also wanted to mention the earlier discussion, if you're a novice hiker, you want to get across the bay. Sometimes people are really afraid. The biggest thing is, bears, and this is moose calving season too. So be not just bear aware, but moose aware too.
Yeah.
We do have a lot of black bear in the park and a few brownies up on the northern end usually, but, just be bear aware and travel in a pack and.
Yeah. Well, great. I want to thank all my guests for joining me today. We had in the studio retired State Park Ranger Roger McCampbell, also a member of the Friends of Kachemak Bay State Park Board, and regular park volunteer Kathy Sarnes and Ground Truth Trekking Executive Director Brentwood Higman. Thank you all for joining me. You are tuned to Coffee Table, and you are tuned to KBBI, and you have been listening to The Coffee Table.